South Carolina crushed Georgia 35%.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Aiken City Council meeting on October 8th, 2012. We're glad to see everyone here. And as we call our meeting to order, let me just mention again, as we always do, if you'd like to speak on any of these issues, you certainly may do so. Try to hold your conversation to 5 minutes, if you would, please. And that way we can make sure everybody gets a chance to speak and everybody will be happy. At this time, we'll have our council prayer and our Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Loving God, open our eyes to discover your presence even in the most unlikely places. In this difficult world, give us comfortable expectations that we may seek the truth. Even when we look around us and the world seems to be falling apart, you continue to call us to you and to give us your blessings. In this month of October, be with those in our community who are suffering or and have survived breast cancer, and those who are victims of abuse. Give us your grace and guidance as we begin a major project to significantly reduce crime in our community. Give us patience and understanding as we deal with sensitive social and neighborhood issues. Finally, bless our defenders of freedom at home and abroad as they protect us. Hear us, O Lord, as we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item of business are the minutes, consideration of the minutes from the regular meeting of September 24th, 2012. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
I move we accept the minutes as written.
Okay.
I second.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Presentations. We're happy to have one this evening. And I think it'll be very interesting to all of us, future water supply sources for the city of Aiken. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you very much. Dr. Jim Hefner is with us tonight. He has helped us out as far as looking at our existing city water supply sources, our needs in the past, the growth in those needs, the demand on our water utility system, and as part of our senior tax write-off program has done an analysis of where we potentially would find some water sources for future needs for our citizens. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Dr. Hefner.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce. As Mr. Pierce said, I'm Jim Hefner. Ladies and gentlemen of the council and the public, I'm glad to be here. I feel kind of like I've been called back to sixth grade, and my teacher, Mr. Pierce, is asking me for a report on how I spent my summer.
That's exactly right.
Can you turn the projector on, please? I have a little PowerPoint presentation. It should take about 10 minutes. But while that's getting warmed up, I'll tell you just a little bit about how we got to be here.
I think it's a PowerPoint.
I'm a retired geologist and called one day and said, how would I like to be a senior worker for the city? And I wasn't too sure what that meant.
Get him next to the mic.
And then he explained, well, the city's interested in future water supply. I'm thinking, well, now that's more up my alley. I can work on that and have a good time with it. And so the question came down to can Aiken get more water from wells to meet growing demand for the distant future? And that breaks itself into three questions. Can we use wells to produce more water without depleting the groundwater resource, have a sustainable long-term source? A second would be, if we can drill wells and get more water from them for the long-term future, where should we put them or where should we not put them? And the third question is, would water quality from wells be satisfactory or do we need to be worried about it? So that's the science piece that I'll address tonight. Oh, shutting down. I hate seeing that. So by way of background, Aiken has several water sources today. There's the Shiloh Spring out near the Aiken Airport. There's a Shark Creek plant that you probably see every time you drive up Highway 1 toward Columbia. And then there's a network of seven wells scattered along East Pine Log Road and out Silver Bluff Road. Altogether, they produce about 9 million gallons of water a day. The peak demand was one very hot, dry in July, I think 2009, with a peak output of 15 million gallons a day. Right now, the water system is stressed. On some of those hot days, it has a hard time keeping up for the peak use hours of the early morning. And so the question is, what do we do about more water? There are two wells ready to put online sometime next year. They're a little further out Silver Bluff, if you know where the newest fire station is, out Silver Bluff Road. In that vicinity, and that should get the city caught up with the demand it needs and even provide a little surplus capacity for the next couple of years. So I was really tickled when the folks from the utilities department called and asked, what should we do about water supply for 10, 20, 30, 40, or 50 years out in the future? Should we be planning on drilling more wells, or should we be making other arrangements? And I think we're just about ready to get into it. Okay. And one of these 90 P's will be the full screen. We should get a technical update in a minute. Figure how to get the projector turned on. There we go. Shall we proceed without the visual aids?
I think we're going to have to, yeah.
Okay. First question, can we get more water out of wells? Well, one of the good pieces of news to me when they asked me to take on that project was that the U.S. Geological Survey had just published this book titled Groundwater Availability in the Atlantic Coastal Plain of North and South Carolina about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And included in there is a model, a series of calculations about groundwater availability, where the water comes from in the ground here, which aquifers hold the water, how much recharges to the ground from rainfall every year, and how much discharges to streams every year. And the model shows that, yes, there's somewhere in the order of 6 or 7 million gallons a day of groundwater that could be produced in and around Aiken without depleting the resource. So that's a good first start. Yes, the answer is, to the first question, yes, there's plenty of water available to be withdrawn for long-term sustainable production. Next question is, do I believe those numbers? And I think they're very conservative. I believe there's a fair bit more water than 6 or 7 million gallons a day that could be withdrawn if wells are located correctly. To get into this, what I did is look at the existing city wells. The city draws water out of two aquifers. These are the two lowest aquifers in the coastal plains, at the very bottom of the coastal plains sediment column. We call them the Crouch Branch Aquifer and the McQueen Branch Aquifer. Right in this neighborhood, each one is somewhere between 100 and 150 feet thick, and the bottom of them is around 500 feet below the surface. So city wells, the ones out on the south flank of town, are pretty uniformly about 500 feet deep. They produce about 1 million gallons a day each, and they're drilled in a place where the aquifer thickness, combined thickness of the two aquifers, is somewhere between 200 and 300 feet. Coastal plains structure being what it is, if you go from here toward the Edgefield County line, the coastal plain sediments get thinner and thinner. If you go toward the Barnwell County line, they get thicker and deeper. So that draws the conclusion that if the city wants to drill more wells, we should be moving southeast of the current well, not to the northwest. Okay, pretty straightforward. The aquifers to the southeast will be a little thicker, a little deeper, should be prolific. That would be the expectation. So now we have answers to the first two questions. Can we get more water out of wells? Yes. Where should we put them? Start with the current line of wells and move from there to the southeast. Don't move to the northwest. Next question is on water quality. Can we reasonably expect to get good water quality out of additional wells? And again, the answer is yes. If you look at municipal water sources or production wells out at Savannah Riverside, I have more familiarity with those, the water quality is quite good from these aquifers and is likely to be that way for pretty much any place the city would be interested in drilling additional wells. There might be patches in here and there where there's water with larger iron concentrations or something, but the city knows how to cope with that. One specific focus on water quality that I was asked to look into is radium. You've probably seen your water bills from time to time a notice that says we've detected radium in one of our water sources about 10% above the drinking water limit. That last happened, I believe, in 2010. The notices come out. I'm not worried about the water quality. And folks who pay attention to radium know that all the way, there's a belt all the way from Jackson to Eureka to Kershaw County to Chesterfield County where many towns have some amount of radium in their well water. So I spoke with the U.S. geological folks about, surveyed folks about that, and I have my own thoughts. I believe the radium is all natural. It comes from natural decay of uranium and thorium, probably in crystalline rocks below the bottom of the coastal plain. All of these cities that have radium in their water are in places where the coastal plain's sediments are relatively thin and their wells are drilled to the bottom of them. So I believe you have a combination of the depth of well, the shallowness of the bottom of the coastal plains, and irregular occurrence of uranium and thorium in the crystalline rocks below the coastal plains that lead to circumstances that produce the radium in the well water. So if the city is to encounter a drilling location that has radium, what can they do about it? Well, first, the city does some very smart things preparing to put new wells in. They drill a test hole first. They drill a small diameter hole first to see where are the aquifers, how deep are they, are they likely to be quality aquifers. They take depth discrete samples and check the water quality from each of the aquifers and figure out how deep they can drill. So the first point is they'll have those samples to tell them, do we have radium or not at a particular drilling site? If not, you're good to go. If radium does appear, it's most likely to appear in the bottom of the well, and what can you do then? Either drill the well not quite all the way to the bottom of the coastal plains, leave a 50-foot buffer at the bottom, or move a half mile down the road and try again. And if that doesn't seem to work out, there's yet another way you can go forward. You can treat radium out of water. It's not a complicated treatment. It adds to expense, but it can be done. So that kind of summarizes the answers to the three questions I was asked to work on. Can we get water out of more wells? Sure. We're at Fulton, southeast. Will water quality be okay? Yeah, almost certainly. And just in case a little problem crops up, there are ways it can be dealt with fairly practically. It's been a pleasure being a senior worker. I've had a blast with it.
Great. Jim, thank you. There may be some questions. Anybody has any comments?
Thank you for an excellent presentation.
Absolutely.
One thing, Jim, if you would, mention about the recharge rate and what area that covers, because and how much rain a year we would need for the recharging of what we already have.
Sure. There's a little bit of arithmetic, so bear with it as we go. Conventional hydrologic model would show for our climate about a third of our rainfall in an average year gets into the ground to recharge groundwater. About a third runs off pretty promptly and runs off into streams or drainage ponds right away. And about a third gets into the shallow soils and is eventually evaporated or taken up by trees and evaporated through the vegetation. So if you take the long-term average of about 48 inches rainfall a year for here, that would work out to be roughly 16 inches of rainfall recharging the ground. Now, the U.S. Geological Survey model shows that about a third of what gets into the ground eventually migrates down into the deeper aquifers that the city wells tap. So just doing a little simple arithmetic, 12 inches of water getting into the ground here, translating into, say, 4 inches down here, would be somewhere in the order of, say, 1 million gallons a day for every 4 or 5 square miles. And that indicates to me that the city could plan in the future drilling a well every 4 or 5 square miles and have a sustainable water production. It's rough arithmetic, but it gives you a ballpark idea.
Mm-hmm. Jim, how much capacity did you quote being in the aquifers? I missed that number. I think you said a big number.
Well, the
water available
Water available, the model that the U.S. Geological Survey produced is a minimum model, and it shows 6 to 7 million gallons per day right now. And I believe that's a small estimate, partly because the area they modeled includes a fair number of square miles that don't have any coastal plains aquifers. Okay, so it's a smallish estimate.
Right.
So the actual number is likely to be larger than that.
Dr. Hefner, over the weekend I heard Larry Morris on the news saying, talking about our water quality and the fact that we had some radium in the city water. And is it your thought also that it would probably take a consumption of about 70 years for it to really cause some harm to us?
Yes, those are all a bunch of calculations. EPA sets a drinking water standard based on what they think is a 1 in a million lifetime cancer risk, and then they would assume that you would be drinking that water from the same place for 50 years or thereabouts at a rate of 2 liters per day. So it's a very conservative sort of calculation. Almost nobody lives in the same place for 50 or 70 years, and very few of us drink 2 liters of water a day. So it's the standard method that's used by the EPA, and they're considered the experts. So I'd hate to say they use the wrong model, but it's conservative. It's protective.
So we shouldn't be worried.
I'm not worried.
Thank you
so much.
It is a good note, too, Councilmember Diggs, that the Shiloh well only provides about 800 to 900,000 gallons per day into the total city water source.
Very good. Before we go into old business, I would like to take a moment to introduce a young Boy Scout, Jonathan Plicker. Jonathan, would you stand up, please, and your dad? We're always happy to have anyone come and visit, of course. And from time to time, we have a lot of young people. But I think overall, we have more Scouts than any other group come. And Jonathan, thank you for being with us. This is part of your citizenship badge, I understand. And you're part of a Troop 110 at First Presbyterian Church. Is that correct? Okay. Well, thank you very much, and keep up the good work. And I think you're working for your Eagle at one of these days, right? Very good. Thank you, sir. Now for old business, first item has to do with appointments and discussion of appointees to the city boards, commissions, and committees. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. At our last meeting, Councilmember Wells recommended Suzanne Haislett be reappointed to our Recreation Commission. That term would expire September 1, 2014. We have six other appointments that are outstanding at this time.
Okay.
That list has been provided in the past.
Do we have a motion and a second for that?
I make a motion that we approve the appointment of Ms. Haislett.
Second.
Okay, we have a second. Any discussion? Show of hands, please, for approval. Passes unanimously. Are there any nominations for next meeting? Okay, we'll move to item two. Second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex 5.71 acres on Whiskey Road at Stratford Drive, zone it planned commercial, PC, and approve a concept plan. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the city of Aiken certain property consisting of 5.71 acres of land, more or less, owned by Farrell L. Holly, Jr. and others, and to zone the same plan commercial, PC, and approve the proposed concept plan. This came before you for first reading at your September 24th meeting. This is for second reading, public hearing, and a vote. Since our last meeting on September 24th, we did have a citizen express some concern about the traffic signal on Whiskey Road at Stratford Drive. We have looked into that. There was a software issue with that that was causing some delay. That software has been revised, and by looking back at the history, we think the times have improved. I'm sure the residents are here to speak to that. Another question came up regarding a potential frontage road for this track. Ed Evans is here tonight, and he looked into that issue before under the development regulations for the city. Before a frontage road could be required by councils, it's Ed's understanding you would have to have at least 1,000 feet of frontage on Whiskey Road. This particular annexation is for 500 feet. It's also my understanding that Tilden Hildebrand is here tonight representing the developer, and Mr. Patel is here as well. And it's my understanding that the signage for the hotels is meant for the Whiskey Road border of the property, and that they are here tonight to stipulate to an additional drive. If you look at page 54, that's the layout plan. Thank you, Ms. Rideout. And if you look at the right-hand corner, you'll see the parking space there, and I think Tilden is here to speak to this, but they are proposing a stub out which would go northerly, so it'd be in the upper right-hand corner where that arrow, we could go to the right side of the street, yes, where the red dot is on the screen. Again, Tilden will speak to that. And then regarding the actual driveway that's proposed for Stratford Drive, it's my understanding that the developer is willing to place a sign there saying service vehicles only for that entrance. But again, Tilden's here, Mr. Patel's here. They can address that in detail. But we just wanted to provide council and the audience with additional information since our September 24th meeting. So for that, for consideration tonight is the second reading of the ordinance.
Very good. Thank you, sir, very much. As we did last meeting, I'd like to ask for those who are proposing the development to speak first, explain everything so that everyone understands, and then we'll give everyone an opportunity to speak, as we always do, and you can give us your comments. So, Tilden, do you want to speak first?
Good evening. I'm Tilden Hildebrand with Aspen Hildebrand. I'm representing the owners, the Hollies, and the developers, the Patels, tonight. And Richard, thank you for the explanation that you gave, and I will briefly go over that and reiterate some things that you had mentioned. The site plan that you see on the screen does have the cross connection that Richard had mentioned, providing interconnectivity both north and south and east and west. Also on the site plan, you'll see routing of emergency vehicles from Whiskey Road through to the development back out to Stratford Hall Drive. Typically, we do that on all our commercial developments just to show that obviously emergency vehicles, service vehicles can maneuver through a development. Since our last meeting, with the concerns of the nearby residents, we consulted with our traffic engineer who prepared the traffic study just to get a simplified explanation of the impact of this development on the intersection of Stratford Hall Drive and Whiskey Road, where there seemed to be a lot of concern. Simply put, the level of service from Stratford Hall Drive onto Whiskey Road now is a level of service B. That level of service after the development of the hotel will not change. Obviously, the Whiskey Road level of service primarily the left turn lane into Stratford Hall here, and the left turn lane or the left turn on the Powder House. Both are level of service D currently and will not change after the development of the hotel. As Richard mentioned, the developer has agreed to include some additional signage that will direct customers and service vehicles that this is to be a service drive only, to discourage people from going out into Stratford Drive using that as an exit. There'll be no signage along Whiskey Road that would indicate that there is an entrance on Stratford Hall Drive. There was also some concern about the height of the building. Yes, obviously the building, it will be approximately 48 feet high. However, there are existing trees in the buffer along Stratford Hall Drive, primarily toward the front here, that are in excess of that height that will help soften the view from the southern direction. Also, the houses that are existing in Springstone Villas and Stratford Hall are 700 to 1,100 feet away, with buffers along the backs of those houses that will also serve to hide the view of the hotel. Again, there's potential for additional drives on Stratford Hall Drive, at least one. There's potential for at least two additional drives on Whiskey Road. We feel that though any developments on the remainder of the site, approximately 24 acres, is going to come to Planning Commission and City Council, and at that time, connector roads from Whiskey to Stratford Hall Drive would be considered where they would be more beneficial, tying in further down Stratford Hall Drive and also further down Whiskey Road. As of right now, the owners have no plans for the remainder of the property and really have no idea where those drives or where that connector road should be installed. I think it would serve everyone's interest better at some future date having better defined plans for the rest of this development to choose the location for any interconnected road from Stratford to Whiskey Road. And also consideration could be given to the property across the street so that any additional driveways on this property would align with those. We just feel like it's a little premature to design roads through, expensive roads, through the remaining 24 acres. We have provided interconnectivity here through this development that will allow an additional emergency access in case this intersection is blocked due to some accident. I think that covers the items that that I recall were mentioned as concerns, and certainly I would be willing to address any questions and additional concerns that you or the audience might have.
Okay, thank you, sir. Any questions at this point?
Yes, sir. Yes. Either Mr. Hillebrand, or maybe this is a question for the city manager, city attorney. The two exits, if you will, out of the parking lots, the new one you just showed and the other one, are those the ones required by city code to have emergency vehicle use, in other words, a crash gate, or are these truly roadways?
Now, you're talking on the west side and the north side?
Yeah, the two there that come out of the parking lots, because in the past, we have ordinances, in my opinion, what I recall, that requires an emergency exit out to a future property or whatever.
I'm not sure it's limited just to emergency exit, but Mr. Evans is here, and he can speak to that requirement. I know typically they look to interconnect parcels to take pressure off of main arterials, but Mr. Evans could speak to that under the zoning ordinance of development.
And it does depend on where it is. When we did the Woodside Medical Center off of Silver Bluff, those were considered emergency exits with crash gates. Mm. So where they're located and how they're used makes a difference. And a crash gate means you can't drive through it with a normal vehicle.
Right. And again, Mr. Evans could probably speak to that since we do have the two connections. I'm not sure whether there needs to be a crash gate or not. I mean, it's not going to be developed.
The zoning ordinance requires the connection to the north. Does not require the connection to the west, and they're supposed to be public, open to the public, not for emergency services.
And that was in this particular case, they both have to be open for public.
Correct.
And so they would be maintained into whatever future business was there as a interconnecting road, if you will.
Correct.
So the streets then, and Mr. Hillebrand may ask it, so those particular roadways would have to be designed for H-20 plus then, wouldn't they not, or highway design to carry the load of traffic?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other count?
Well, I have some questions, but I'd like to hear from the public first.
Fine, then. Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't go home yet, please. let's just start right here and go down, across, and then come back this way. How's that? Anyone like to speak over on this side first?
There's a hand.
Okay.
Lee Rand, 204 Khaki Court. And for a moment there, I was very happy when you talked about the signage. But now we're right back to our previous situation. I have no objection to the hotel, just the use of Stratford Drive, as many people indicated 2 weeks ago. I'm not going to reiterate what we said then. In the meantime, I have had an opportunity to review the traffic study. And according to the traffic study, approximately 50% of the trips going north of Whiskey from the hotel will use the entrance number one, which is Whiskey Road. That means that those people will have to wait until southbound traffic eases up. Then they can get into that center meridian, and then they have to wait for the northbound traffic to ease up before they can get into their lane to travel north. Now, the same thing was approximated for people coming from the south. 50% would use the Whiskey Road exit. 50% would use the Stratford Drive exit. Now, that makes sense on the first trip, in or out. But no one is going to subject themselves to the weight and the possible danger of trying to cross Whiskey Road when they have the opportunity to get out from the Stratford exit in a minute and 13 seconds, according to what you said about the traffic light 2 weeks ago. Also, it's much safer for them to get out that way. So you're not going to have a 50-50%. I mean, that sounds great, but it's not going to continue. In addition to that, I may have missed it, but in this traffic study, I saw no study about what is the increased risk of traffic accidents on Whiskey, because you know that exiting a non-controlled driveway on Whiskey is dangerous. We've had multiple accidents on Eastgate Drive. They have a traffic light there. The accidents have caused people coming out of Chick-fil-A. So those are the points that I wanted to make. I would like to remind council that they've sworn to protect and ensure the safety and welfare of their citizens and those who come to visit us in this town, and they do have the power, based upon the problem of Stratford Drive, to make sure that something is done to restructure the proposal plan, perhaps another exit onto Whiskey. And I leave you to do the right thing.
Thank you very much. Who would like to be next? Okay. Over this side, and then we'll come back if someone else decides they want to speak, certainly.
Councilman Zilter, 129 Sessions Drive. And I'm here to ask a question about the water. I'm glad we had the gentleman saying they were going to build more water stations. But in the middle of summer, you get up 6 o'clock in the morning and get ready for take a shower. Everybody in Stratford Hall and all the other subdivisions around are drawing the water to water their yards. You have to, a fat lady has to run around the shower to get wet just about. If you got 60 more people taking a shower off that same water line right there, it's going to definitely decrease our water pressures in the mornings. And I would like to know how they plan on proposing to get the water pressure up. Now, in the wintertime when nobody's running the sprinklers, it's not an issue. 12 o'clock noontime is not an issue. We're talking in the morning when you get ready to go to work. Everybody from the motel is about to leave at the same time as the people are trying to go to work, and the water pressure drops.
Larry Morris is here. He's our Director of Engineering and Utilities. Mr. Zipler, I'm sure he can address that concern.
Okay, and then I've got the concern with the drive. I'd like to see a crash gate put on that road like they were discussing. If you look right down the road on the left-hand side, right as you're going into Target, that motel has one entrance. It does not go into the Target parking lot. If you go into that to think you're going into the Security Federal, you end up in the wrong place. It's one way in, one way out, and it goes in and out on Whiskey Road. So I think that if one can do it, they all should be able to do it. But we need to change that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Since council last met in session, we have received the permit from DHEC to proceed with our Silver Bluff water treatment plant. And I'm working on those specifications to complete them and have it on the street. We are planning on taking bids on that plant on November 8th and then starting construction shortly thereafter. That will provide us an additional 3 million gallons of water per day. As Mr. Hefner said, that will suffice for our present needs and give us some additional water in the future. So that will handle our pressure problem. Yes, we do have a pressure problem in the mornings. Everyone wants to sprinkle their lines between 4 and 6 in the morning. So that will be an issue until we get that plant online. The plant will take over a year to build, so you know, we'll be asking citizens to work with us next summer to try to help alleviate the pressure problems on there.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good. Thank you, Larry. Next.
Mr. Mayor, Council, Richard Mason, President of the Springstone Homeowners Association, and hopefully speaking as one voice for the Stratford Hall and the Springstone Villas. We held a meeting at my home last Tuesday. About 23 residents were in attendance. And we reviewed some of the concerns, which is why there aren't as many people popping up to voice information this evening. We've come to several concerns, but before I get into that, I would like to address the new information that we got regarding this fire and safety entrance. It showed that the emergency vehicles were coming in off of Whiskey Road from north to south. And it kind of made me wonder why they would be doing that when our closest fire department is on the south end at College, which means that they would have to be coming north on Whiskey and either turning in Stratford, then making a right turn into the hotel, or they would have to go up to the Whiskey Road and make a cross traffic turn into the facility. I think we need to re-examine that. One of the other things I spent some of my very little free time on was examining the existing road systems where you go in East Gate, you make a left and go in behind the IHOP. You can travel all the way from that entrance past Target and come back out to Whiskey Road up at Brookhaven. Yes, thank you. The option is also to travel all the way behind the mall so that you have an uninterrupted travel flow. The other thing I did today was I took my measuring wheel and I confirmed that Larry Morris's 900 feet to the property line directly across from the existing property does meet up. It's right at the fire hydrant, by the way. And I discovered something new for us to consider. 125 feet further north from there, there is an existing access and a cleared road that travels the entire right side of that property. The entrance off of Whiskey is very much on the grade so that there is no embankment or any other way to impede a vehicle from being able to turn in there. Now, I know it's a little further than the 500 feet that we're talking about the developer working on, but I live in a development where Mr. Waters was asked to include streets, water, lighting before he developed the property. I kind of wonder why in the commercial development plan it isn't the responsibility of the developers to provide those same services. There are, you know, millions of dollars possible in the development of the 20 acres on the northeast, the 33 acres that their property involves, and an additional 11.5 acres that is on the southwest corner of Whiskey Road. We're talking of an area of over 60 additional acres of commercial development. If that doesn't spell out increased traffic as we go forward, I think we're missing the plan. So, what are we asking for? I was at the meeting on Tuesday, and one of the residents said to me, "Dick, you're beating a dead horse. You're wasting your time. The deal is done." And I was happy to say that history of the council shows better response than that. The citizens came together and presented a opposition in 2006 to the Sam's Club, and it was considered and turned down. We just witnessed recently that the citizens were asking for the shooting range in Gale Diggs District Number 1 not to be put in. And the council saw that the citizens were in the right, and they rejected that idea.
That was the Board of Zoning Appeals.
So, where I'd like to go. Our one voice in the 220 tax-paying homes of our neighborhoods are aware that a motion can be made by a council member to do one of two things. The first motion would be to approve the hotel with the proviso that no service road exits onto Stratford, because there is no way to enforce whether or not people will go in or out of that road. There is no gate. People using their garments and so forth will find it. So it's a point that doesn't have any validity that will not be a heavily used entrance and exit to our community. The second motion that I would like to ask for somebody to make, if the first one doesn't satisfy you, is that we table the vote until a more intensive study is done on the service road issue. There are alternatives, and I think we need to be far-reaching in our thinking before we come to a decision on this item. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I have a question, please. I have a question, sir.
Please.
If the project were approved with a frontage road and had no access whatsoever to Stratford Drive, would that be acceptable to you and your community?
Say that again, please.
If the project were approved with a requirement for a frontage road and no access to Stratford Drive, would that be acceptable?
That is exactly what we're looking for. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to have one of my council people take the initiative on either one or the other of the items that I've asked for a motion on.
We still have more discussion, I think, to make before we have any motion.
Okay.
I have a question. When you say no, I'm not so sure you said no traffic out into Stratford. I think that's what you said. No traffic going out?
Service traffic.
How about service?
Nothing.
So that would leave one entrance.
No. What I was saying earlier was that we need the developer to be responsible to provide two roads on Whiskey, and one within the 900 or 1,025 feet, which would then qualify it for a DOT traffic light. And then we get back to the safety issues that were presented, where people would be safely able to maneuver in and out of that road without the possibility of accidents. We're not asking for just one entrance or exit. We're asking that both of them be on Whiskey.
I don't quite understand at this point, and I'm addressing this because you're talking about why it would be so... you would not want any traffic going out on Stratford. I don't quite understand that. There's a light at the Whiskey Road. It's a perfect place. It's safe. You get out in the light. I just don't understand why you wouldn't, from a safety standpoint, and the nice lady mentioned safety was a concern as well, why you wouldn't want to allow some traffic to go either way, to go both ways.
Well, it's self-perpetuating. After that road is opened and the back end of the property is developed, because the stub is already there to move the development further to the back end of the property,
right?
Then they're going to be looking to put one at the bottom of the hill to come out onto Stratford. If the property on the southwest corner, the 11.5 acres, is developed, which it will, because this is a self-feeding. One commercial property, Mr. Hawley said himself, a sit-down family restaurant would be the next logical thing after the second hotel. What happens if somebody decides to put another gas station on the southwest corner? Then you have more traffic in and out. It's not that we're talking about this hotel situation. We're talking about the big picture.
I understand. And we can't deny that there will be more development on that land. When? Who knows? But it's been sitting there. How long has that land been sitting there? And people have known about it for a long time. I haven't seen anybody come up and say, hey, we want to buy this land so that there's no building on it. It's been there. And it's only fair that the developer, whoever owns it, and this goes for other land as well, have a fair chance to be able to put something on their property.
Godspeed.
And the hotels, my goodness, they're, 700, 800 feet from the nearest home with all the trees?
We're not arguing the hotel.
Something like that?
We're not arguing the hotel.
So your whole point, really, I mean, your major point is to not have any traffic go out on Stratford Drive.
That's the point.
Or come in. How about coming in?
How would they, they're going to come in.
People come from the site, for instance. They get the light. They come on in the back way. What in the world is the problem with that?
I'm not.
Oh, okay.
The current traffic flow isn't the problem. The future traffic flow is the concern.
Okay, and we don't know what that is at
this
point.
Well, we can project pretty well. We are in probably the worst economic times that we've had since 1996.
Right.
And now that that is starting to open up, and once there are other developments there, the property value is going to go up when the roads are put in. It's a proven fact that in real estate, when you have access roads and you have a viable area to build, that people are going to come and build there.
Right.
And the hotels are going to perpetuate the food people, and the food people are going to perpetuate somebody else,
right.
And we're going to go on. And we're in a growing community.
Yes, sir.
We're not stagnant.
And we know that when we buy our homes, don't we? Just on my home, I know that we're going to have more traffic on my street. I know that.
Build more homes in the area. But we're talking about what we know. And what we know is that the traffic flow from the commercial development is going to have a negative impact on the existing community. And we're not arguing that they can't build the hotel. We've said a dozen times we feel it's a very positive idea. We just think that somebody needs to consider that the road system be put in the beginning with some forethought.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
And I'm on the board of Stratford Hall, and there had been meetings that I know were attended with the joint developments. Approximately, I think they quoted somewhere around 20-some people were there. And then the gentleman spoke about having a consensus of 200 plots of land. Well, he's not speaking for me, and I don't think he's speaking for the preponderance of people who have more than well known about these meetings. There is only one way that this, in my opinion, development can go ahead forward, is to have an entrance or an exit onto Stratford Hall. The lady spoke about the safety of coming out on the Whiskey and the concerns with crossing and then going north. Well, coming out of this entrance that's quote-unquote, the service vehicles only, which we know people are going to find the quickest path out of there anyway. There's going to be a stop sign there. The only way they're going to be able to get out onto Stratford Hall is to make a left turn to get out of there to meet the light. So if there's traffic coming out of the subdivisions that force that person to wait there, so be it. If they commit a risky act and causing an accident, that's some of the concerns that we certainly would have. But for a group of people to set and say that we're not allowing this because of the entrance onto Stratford, when there's already an almost third lane there now on the entrance side, it does not come down that road very, very far where it's going to impede the people going into the villas or into Stone Creek. I think you're going to hear information a little bit later about some of the homework that was done by one of our residents. But I'm just going to sit here and say there is another number of people that are not part of the 20 or 30 that were at the meeting. They have represented the villas, Stratford Hall, and Stone Creek. They do not speak for all of the residents of the area. And I just needed to make that point.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Let's move on here. Who else would like to speak? Yes, sir.
Hello, gentlemen. My name is Gene Sansone. I live in Springstone Court in Springstone. I have a question for the council. When you all consider future developments along Whiskey Road, is there any consideration, maybe you can have no control, I don't know, to put in right turn lanes of traffic before to the entrances of these commercial developments so traffic can pull over, slow down, without impeding the traffic on Whiskey Road? You understand what I'm saying? Like they have at Eastgate Drive, for example. Is any consideration ever given when what these, because there's a lot more commercial activity going on Whiskey Road.
Let me tell you, that is not up to the city to make that decision. And what happens is that you have to prove that you need things. It's just like a traffic light. Anybody ever tried to get a traffic light at a certain point and we keep getting turned down by the state? We've got one right on Dibble Road coming out on Hitchcock Parkway that we've tried about four times. It's a similar kind of thing, that you have to prove that you need that right turn lane. And that's one of the problems. If we, city council, had the ability to make all of these decisions and do all of this ourselves, perhaps we would be doing a better job. I'm not saying the state doesn't, but maybe we could. But you've got to wait for things to happen. It's almost like you have to wait for somebody to, you know what, have a serious accident sometime. Mm-hmm. But there are 9 criteria on a spot on a traffic light. I don't know how many there are on a right turn lane. But it's the same kind of principle, that you've got to prove that it's necessary.
Well, I've talked to you, it's been a number of years, and I know you've talked about the congestion on Whiskey Road many times. Okay.
Oh, there are times it's congested. Oh, there certainly are.
What happens is you get momentum going on Whiskey Road, and then in front of these commercial activities, and everything starts slowing down. It starts, you know, going down. I'm not saying it stops completely, but
right.
But the right turn lane gets impeded a lot. And I was just curious, when the developer puts in a plan like this, can the developer be required to put a lane going to his entrance?
I would say at this point, no.
Okay, that's all I want to find
out. Maybe the developer can speak to that better than I can, but that's my guess at this point. I think as you prove things are necessary, especially when it's not in the hands of the city to make that decision,
I look forward to get more congested out on Whiskey Road.
Now let me talk about congestion a minute. Certainly there's some congestion on Whiskey Road. There's congestion on any busy road. One of our council members, I won't say who, a few years back, said that he stopped at a stoplight. I think he had to wait maybe twice or three times. And he thought to himself that, golly, this is terrible. But then he remembered where he moved from. And he said, man, we don't have any traffic. Washington, D.C. or Arlington. Something like that, right? Right, Steve? Okay. So something else that really gets me sometimes. People have to take some responsibility for their own traffic, for their own movement of traffic. You know, there are about four ways to get from North Whiskey Road to South, at least three, without even coming on Whiskey Road.
I use the back roads all the time.
Absolutely. You can use Powder House coming from Center City. Come on down, Colleton, or some of those streets coming in on out.
Right.
But yet, so many people will fuss about, it took me so long to get through Whiskey Road. We've got the best stoplight system we've ever had right now on Whiskey Road. And sometimes you can go from one end to the other, and I've done it. I said this last time, sometimes maybe you either have to slow down or speed up a little bit. But it's the best thing. We got it from Evans, Georgia. They proved it to us that it worked. So we got it. Now, I'm not saying it's perfect, and maybe sometimes you'll have to stop at every stoplight, but it's better than what we have ever had before. And, we're going to have to just deal with some traffic. Another thing you can do, and I don't mean to be preaching, but I am, I guess, now. People can schedule the time they go to places. Don't everybody go out that rush hour. Go sometime else when there's not hardly any traffic on it. Sunday mornings, or Sunday afternoons, sometimes there's not much traffic. Other times as well.
I don't want to belabor it. I just didn't know whether you all had power to.
If somebody thinks we do have that, I misspoke. Please speak up.
Yeah. Okay. Development on properties. That's all.
Oh. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gene. Okay. Next. Yes, sir.
I'm Clarence Keeler. I live in Stratford Hall. And I'd like to, I can't remember all these figures, but I'd like to read a few things here that I haven't had a problem on of traffic out of Stratford Drive. And in some of the earlier discussions, we were told there was one way in, one way out, and the timing of the light was a problem, and the motel exit on Stratford Drive. So I took some observations myself, and on Wednesday, the 26th, I spent 2 hours at the light. This was at 4:15 in the afternoon to 6:15. And cars entering Stratford Drive didn't have a problem because the Whiskey Road light gives us a little more time. Plus, there's a right-hand turn going south. So there wasn't too much of a problem there. But the vehicles coming into Stratford Drive were 128, and the vehicles leaving were 76. The light sequence was 45 seconds to 1 minute and 16 seconds. That's all the time cars had to wait on Stratford Drive during that time period. The maximum number of cars at the light were three. Or four. There were three in the left lane and one in the straight or right lane, because Stratford Drive is three lanes wide there. And I'm not sure if the council knew that, but it's. I took some measurements, and being retired and starting to get interested more in this traffic situation, the Stratford Drive entrance is 42 feet wide at the light at Whiskey. That's almost four lanes wide. Also, I measured Powder House, and that was just widened and repaved. And Stratford Drive two-lane section is 7 foot wider than Powder House. Another thing that we did was measure this distance 42 feet wide at Whiskey, and it runs 302 feet deep, the three lanes. Then it turns to the narrow section, which is 28 and a half feet. Springstone Villas have stop signs going out into Stratford Drive. The motel will have a stop sign on Stratford Drive. I don't see a problem with any traffic. If we measure the distance, that 300 feet, a full-size car is about 17 feet. That's a large automobile. So if you add another 8 foot for spacing, we can have 12 cars in each lane. So I think the traffic now we can add more in that Stratford Drive area because there's only 4 to 5 cars at the light. We can accommodate on the three lanes 12 cars in each lane.
Thank you very much. Next. Yes, sir.
My name is Gary Unbrzok. I live in Stratford Hall, 152 Antietam Drive. I have some questions, if I could. The entrance on Whiskey Road is how far up the road from the traffic light? Is it about 120 feet? Can I ask the developer? Is that I can't really see. Is that about 120 feet from the intersection of Powder House and Stratford Drive? Is that what the entrance is?
It is 315 feet from this edge of Stratford Drive to this edge of the intersection.
Okay. Do you know roughly what the turn area is, the turn onto turn onto Powder House is, where that starts, where the left turn lane is, onto Powder House, where that starts?
My understanding, I don't know the exact distance, but there is room for at least two cars to stack here, turning left, northbound into the hotel.
Okay. My thought is that you wouldn't have much room for turning into, for people coming north on Whiskey Road to turn into your entrance, without a problem with people coming south turning onto Powder House. And normally during rush hour, the people coming south turning onto Powder House gets pretty heavy right in there. And they usually stack up pretty good. If people in Stratford Hall, you should probably know that they're usually that turn lane, that left turn lane is usually backs up pretty good around rush hour turning onto Powder House. I'm going to say there's usually 5-7 cars turning in there. So you may have a problem with that, with your entrance right there. Because if you only have enough room for maybe 2 cars, you're going to have some issues getting in and out of the hotels if you only have enough room, for 2 cars getting in and out. One of the issues that you have along Whiskey Road sometimes is you have problems getting in and out of some of the shopping centers, some of the restaurants because you have I'm going to call them suicide lanes, okay? And I'm sure you've seen it, where people were trying to get in and out, okay, of some of the shopping centers and restaurants during busy times of the day, okay? I think you're going to have some of that here also. Can I ask also the developers, the road that you have, the proposed road that you have going parallel to Stratford Hall, is that where you're going to put the proposed restaurant? The proposed road that you have going back that's kind of paralleling that road right there, is that the road?
There are no plans at all on any of this property.
Okay.
And my understanding, and maybe I misunderstood, this might be a question for Mr. Evans. My understanding was this connector was a requirement of the city to provide interconnectivity north and also or to the west and also one required to the north.
So there's no plans at this time to use that road for anything? Okay. I'm just curious. Okay. Thank you. What I'd like to do is I'd like to present council. I've had about a week and a half to talk to a number of people throughout the community, some in Stratford Hall, some in Chucker Creek, some throughout the community at large about the proposed hotel, some about the congestion on Whiskey Road, some about just general development, some about issues that face the community at large. But overall, the hotels and the proposed hotels. People have talked to me, and I've talked to people about issues, and they said, you know, essentially what I've done is I put together a petition, and the petition was, you know, the people against the proposed hotels on the corner of Whiskey Road. Okay, and I've had a little over a week to do this. I've got 185 signatures here of people that are opposed to the hotels, okay, on the corner of Whiskey Road and Stratford Drive. People have given me a number of reasons why they're opposed to this proposed hotel complex. People have said, we don't need more hotels. They're building a hotel right now behind Sonics. We've just built another hotel back off of Eastgate. Why do we need more hotels? It's just going to add more traffic. We've just had a meeting Monday a week ago about people concerned about the loss of green space. We've had all kinds of concerns of people coming out saying, we just don't need this. It doesn't make sense. These people that have signed this petition, I've only had a few people that have refused it. There are people in Stratford Hall. There are people in Chucker Creek. There are people throughout the area. They're not all from the south side. There are people throughout the greater Aiken area that have said, we use Whiskey Road, okay? But we don't want to see Whiskey Road become a Washington Road, okay? We like Aiken, okay? But we don't want to see Aiken become a Washington Road. We want to see Aiken become or stay Aiken, a beautiful Aiken, okay? We want the council, okay, to take and say, council, let's take and keep Aiken beautiful. Let's take and control the growth. Okay? Yes, we want growth. Yes, we want to take and see jobs. We want all these things. But we want to take and control the growth, okay, and we want to see it taken be done wisely. Okay? We have infrastructure issues on Whiskey Road. The Whiskey Road corridor is becoming overwhelming with growth. Why not look and do it wisely? You have the north side corridor that's great, okay, as far as road systems. You have a corridor on Pine Log on the east side, which is great and look can handle growth. Okay, you've developed a system that goes around Aiken that can handle growth. Why not utilize it? Why not take and look at a way to take and develop the areas that you have around Aiken? And this is what the people are telling me that have signed this. They say, why not develop Aiken wisely all around Aiken instead of taking and continuing to put everything on Whiskey Road? That's what they're telling me. That's what I heard when I talked to people who signed this petition. Not that they're against hotels. It's not against that they're against growth, but they want to see it done wisely. Okay? It's not Stratford Hall residents. Okay? I didn't particularly take and go around Stratford Hall, although there are a lot of Stratford Hall people that have signed this. Okay? It's not Springstone people. It's not all those people that are necessarily affected by the hotels. It's people in Aiken that signed this. And as you look through it, you'll see that. You'll see the addresses of people in Aiken that have signed this. One other thing that I would like to take and state. Okay, we're trying to talk about connector roads. And I would like to try to talk something positive about connector roads and looking at things positive. We talked about some good ideas about connector roads. Well, I was trying to take and look at a way to take and look at connector roads, and I applaud the idea that you have coming across the back. But there's another idea that I thought maybe had some plausibility about connector roads. Session Drive in Stratford Hall has an empty lot at the very bottom of Sessions Drive that runs through a creek, runs back through a creek through Springstone, and it would run all the way over to Chucker Creek. And if you're familiar with the south side, Stratford Hall, Chucker Creek, Chime Bell Church Creek all have single entrances onto Whiskey Road. They all empty out onto Whiskey Road. No other entrance. But if we took and looked at all those roads and all those communities, because there's a lot of them, okay, and did a connector road from Stratford Hall, going down through that creek and going across and picking up Chucker Creek and picking up Chime Bell Church Road and going all the way over to Anderson Pond. Anderson Pond happens to be where we're looking at in the next 5-10 years, sometime down in the future, of being a connector road going from Whiskey Road over to Silver Bluff. Okay, it could be a way to give us a second entrance so that we wouldn't be using Whiskey Road, okay, as a primary way. It's going to cost a lot of money, okay, but it's an idea. And what I'm trying to do is give you ideas to look at for a way, for a solution, okay. And maybe it's a way to come up with a solution to reduce traffic so that not everybody has to take, through all these communities that are growing, look a way to take and reduce traffic so that people have another way to go to take and get away from the traffic on Whiskey Road and relieve some of the infrastructure problem that we have on Whiskey Road. So that's what I just want to have to say, and I want to take and give this petition
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay. You just give it to me.
I want to thank you for your time.
Gary, thank you. Over the years, we're always looking for connector roads. And over the years, we've found many spots where we could connect. And one was mentioned earlier, the one between Sears and
yes.
and the Target Shopping Center. Boy, what a blessing that has been.
Yes.
When the city did that. And there are others as well. And so that is something we really certainly need to look for and do.
Yes.
And I agree with you. We need to get as much of the traffic as we can, off of Whiskey Road, if it's possible, through connector roads. And thank you for your comments.
Thanks. Thank you.
Next. Anyone? Okay.
You have a hand.
I'm sorry.
On the left.
Whoever. I don't see it.
On the
okay.
left, yes.
Yes, sir.
I'm Jim Jewett. I live in Springstone Village. And in looking at your plot up there of the two hotels, I notice you don't have any provisions for oversized vehicles. Vehicles that pull trailers, semis that come to park. I've been to a lot of motels during my travels, and I notice that you get all kinds of vehicles that come in to the motel. And if they don't have a handy parking spot, they're going to park on the private or the public roadway. And I'd like to suggest that if they keep the entrance on Stratford Road, that they make Stratford Road a no parking zone on both sides. And I don't like to see Stratford Road be made a parking lot for the hotels.
Absolutely. Right.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Let's answer that question while it's fresh in our mind. Are there any oversized parking lots that you plan on? No? Okay. So what is going to happen if somebody comes in there with an extra large load or something? Will you allow them? Please come up and speak. Somebody speak to that, if you would, since it. Mr. Patel.
My name is Ashok Patel. I'm from Florence, South Carolina. I'm the developer. There will not be any parking for large vehicles. And our experience has been, and normally people come in there, they just don't run around city and get an enter. They look for a side, they'll ask, do you have parking? They'll see our website, they'll see all that, and we say we don't have, and they will not approach. And in the last 5-6 years, we've developed hotels in Charleston, Columbia, and none of them have it, and there's never been a difficulty.
Okay, but if you do get someone, you're not going to tell them to get out of there because we don't have a parking spot for you, are you?
Well, they will not be able to park, so they'll have leave. There will be no parking there.
You're going to turn business away because somebody
yes.
takes up two spots? Are you? Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting to me. Oh, okay, thank you, sir.
Come on
back, Jim, please. We like to get everybody on tape with their comments so that we don't miss something. And
I'd like to point out one thing, that the entrance to the motel is on the opposite side of the building facing Stratford Road. So they're never going to know what kind of vehicle they come to the hotel with.
I assume they've got someone on duty, though, that's monitoring the parking areas, and they probably have cameras out there. Sir?
They may have cameras, yeah. But I doubt if they have anybody that goes around looking at.
Well, now that's their business. I don't know whether they will or not, but if they have cameras, they've probably got somebody looking at the cameras pretty frequently. And they would have to go...
But they're going to have a green space, trees in between the parking lot and Stratford.
Yeah, Hall. Yeah. Well, you know, that's their problem, I think, or a concern, whatever they want to do with...
Yeah, but we can alleviate that problem by putting up a no parking sign.
A no parking sign for what?
For parking. On Stratford Road.
Oh, on Stratford. Oh, no, I don't think there ought to be any parking on Stratford. I thought you were talking within the hotel perimeter.
Yeah.
You're talking about on Stratford.
That's correct.
Well, I don't think there should be any parking.
Well, I don't either.
Okay.
There shouldn't be a parking lot.
That's right. Hey, we agree.
Right. Just put up a no parking sign.
You check it in the morning, and I'll check it at night. No, we agree on certainly we don't want that to happen. That would possibly cause some real traffic concerns if we did that. Is there anyone else who wants to speak?
I would just like to quickly address some of the comments. Can we turn this on? Quickly, there was a comment early on concerning the emergency vehicle routing from north and south, and I just wanted to point out that the routing that we have shown can work both ways, whether they enter here, go this way, there's an ample radius here to get back out, and proper width to get on the Whiskey Road. So, as far as which way the fire truck comes from, I don't think that would be an issue. I would like to mention, too, that when it comes to traffic projections and basically studying traffic, I typically leave that to experts, and I certainly don't proclaim to be an expert, but in the summary that we got from our traffic engineer, he stated that related to the traffic from the hotel in terms of actual delay, the additional traffic generated by the hotel development would result in an increase in approach delay of 2 seconds per vehicle in the AM peak and 4 seconds per vehicle in the PM peak, and that's on to Stratford Drive. This represents an increase in delay of less than 9%. And that was using the 50% that the lady mentioned when she was up here. Typically, when a traffic study is done, 50% of the traffic is assumed to use one exit and 50% is assumed to use the other. So with 50% of the total traffic generated from the hotels using the Stratford Hall exit, we're talking about a 9% increase in the delay at the traffic light, which leaves the motion at that traffic light at a level of service B. As far as the need for access in and out of the hotel site, again, this drive is critical, and please remember that this and this, both these hotels are four-story hotels. We want to have emergency vehicles able to get in and out as quickly as possible. As you would assume, if a person's staying in a hotel, they're not familiar with their surroundings. If there's a fire, if there's smoke, You want emergency people to be able to get there quickly, help those people get out of the hotel. So we think it's critical that this access be left intact. As far as interconnecting properties, I am certainly an advocate of interconnecting properties. The situation is, let me get my orientation correct here. The situation we have here, and it's hard to see the line, but this blue line here represents the hotel site. The hotel site's just a small portion of the overall property that has potential to develop here. And we've provided interconnectivity within our parcel as the city requires. Again, none of us know the potential development for all this property around. We feel like it's a better use of infrastructure to plan that infrastructure when a development comes before you. All these properties will come before you and the Planning Commission so that you can address those issues when there's a concrete plan in place. Again, if we install driveway stub outs, if we install connector roads, there's a good chance that the next person that comes along and looks at this property says, well, you put the driveway in the wrong place, or you put the connector road in the wrong place. And that happens to us a good bit when we plan shopping centers. When you stub out driveways to out parcels, you have another tenant that comes along and they say, well, you stubbed all your driveways in the wrong place. So it's very difficult to plan exactly where those roads should fall until you have a better idea of what will develop there. And at this time, we really don't have any idea as to what would come there. A gentleman was concerned about the right turn lane potential for the entrance off Whiskey Road. Let me get this right. I would want to mention that the City Council the City of Aiken is just one review agency that we have to deal with. If we are successful in getting approved, then we'll then deal with the South Carolina DOT, and South Carolina DOT has their own traffic engineers who study all these driveways, especially Whiskey Road, and there is some potential that they will require a right turn lane here. We won't know that until we get to the point of making that submittal and they go through their reviews. But I assure you that their reviews are very thorough. I think that covers the comments that I have listed. If you have any questions, I certainly would like to entertain them.
Anybody have any questions to tell?
Yes.
Anybody else?
I got a quick question. On this access or cutout that you have on the northwestern side, if you say, you don't really know what the future holds, so it's kind of like a shot in the dark. Have you explored making a cutout and have a double entrance off Whiskey, and that way that would take the load off Stratford?
Right now we have 584 feet of frontage here. Mm-hmm. The city's access ordinance actually would allow two driveways here. However, the DOT's requirements are more stringent, and South Carolina DOT will only allow one driveway on this property. Matter of fact, we're probably going to have to slide this about 10 feet to meet their access requirements. So what we have shown is the maximum number of driveways allowed by the state.
Tilden, how wide is that driveway?
It's roughly 42 feet. It's a fairly wide 16 to 18 foot in and a right and a left out.
By way of challenges to the council, I think none of us ran for office to kind of make these decisions, but we ran, so we have to. My concern is, I mentioned last time with the frontage road, we only have one chance, as the city attorney has told us many times, to have control over how we approve this kind of project. And the frustration here is we're being asked to approve a piece of a property that's going to be developed. And the frustration with that is that once we do that, then we give up the right to look at the piece of property as a whole. I'm concerned, for example, about the buffer on the people on Sessions Drive. I want to make sure that they've got a 10-foot buffer. We can't do that if we're only going to consider this project. It's a start in the right direction, I think, for the residents to have the frontage road and not have to access Stratford Hall. And I legally, I'm not sure where our authority lies, quite frankly. We're not being asked to evaluate the entire 31 acres of property. We're only being asked to evaluate, what is it, 5-point-something acres. But nonetheless, if we approve what you're asking for as you ask for it, I think it will do long-term damage to traffic flow when the entire piece of property is developed. That's why I've made so many comments about a frontage road. I have some other questions. There are three signs that are in our packet. I think one is a 15-foot. I don't know what the other one was. I certainly would voice my recommendation for the 10-foot sign. The smaller the better, but it's got to be big enough so that customers can see it. And I do recognize the right of the developer to develop the property and the right of the owner to market his property. The challenge is to try to satisfy as many constituencies as we can. The ordinance says that the revised concept plan will be submitted once we get this approved. But it's submitted, doesn't say it's submitted to council. I would like to make that request if in fact we approve this tonight, that, and this is an internal issue, that perhaps the city manager could give us a copy of the concept plan of what we approve. There's no indication of what the height of Hotel B would be. Can we assume that that's the same as Hotel A? Certainly not higher than the 50 feet.
It's not higher than that. Last time we had a slide, it showed the height of it.
Okay.
Less than 50 feet.
All right. Thank you, sir. With regard to disabled parking spots, are they pretty rigidly controlled and where they go? I know they need to be. I mean, I've seen a lot around the city that are not close to the front entrance, and I always thought they had to be as close to the front entrance of the business as possible.
That's a practice. I don't know that it's stipulated explicitly in any regulation. That is standard practice.
Okay.
And it sort of takes care of itself, because the ADA requires that you provide an accessible route that doesn't exceed a certain slope, and typically that's closer to the front door, so you don't have to manipulate slope throughout the site that flat.
And do you know how many you'll be required to put in?
It's one per 25 spaces.
That's what it is? Okay. On page 48, there was an item that, and I think you've addressed it with this cutout. Interconnection to the north is also required, but is not shown on the plan.
Okay, that will be updated, and it is updated on the plan.
Okay, that's what I thought. Will you be building sidewalks on Whiskey Road?
It is not our intention to do that.
Is that not a requirement? There's a comment in here.
I don't know of any requirement.
Mr. Evans could speak to that.
Yeah, please. I thought there was a requirement that.
Thank you.
Yeah, the streetscape improvements on page 49.
On page 49, excuse me, of your package.
Yeah, I just found it. Yeah, streetscape improvements.
Right, there's a study done in 2001 called the LDR study. And it's been council's policy for previous projects on Whiskey Road that they comply with the LDR study, which requires sidewalks, piping of ditches, and street trees. And the recommended condition, condition recommended by the Planning Commission, is that ditches be piped and sidewalks installed, but not street trees planted.
Say again, I'm sorry.
That sidewalks be installed and ditches be piped, but no street trees be planted. And that's condition
six.
Okay, so we know the answer. The answer is yes.
Okay. Okay, so it would have sidewalks. Okay. I think that's all the questions I have. My major concern, I think that most of the residents don't object to the projects. There are some that do, obviously. I think it's a good project. It appears to be well thought out, well designed, but my major concern is with the traffic and looking at the overall piece of property, and I just think we need to have a frontage road, and we need to start with this first piece of property that's being developed on this property.
Any other comments?
Well, if you bring up page 53, Ms. Sarah, if you could bring up page 53 on the package, please. That's all. Back up one page, 54.
That's the one that shows the entire track?
Yeah. And I could echo the concern of a lot of the citizens, and as well as been mentioned by some of the council members. As far as I can concern, there's nothing wrong with the hotels going in. That's been planned for commercial development for decades, like Mr. Holly had said last week. But I do think, with my short experience on city council and some other areas in the city, if we don't develop the site plan as we go, somebody's going to be sitting in these chairs up here and have to deal with how many more entrances do we put in. And Mr. Evans alluded to, well, there would be another a loop road put in it someday to take care of the business, other businesses. So I think for some way we need to take a look at how do we develop the rest of the site, because the next person comes in with another Cracker Barrel restaurant, he wants an entrance off of Stafford Hall. Then what do we do? And then the next one down is a McDonald's, so they're all going to want one. And we trap ourselves for the future, and I understand the development cost is more for the first guy. But again, so I just have a real struggle with not doing the site layout now versus 5, 10, or 15 years from now, but have no objection to the type of structures going in.
And how would you propose to do that site layout? Right.
So that when others come to develop it, and Mr. Morris has said, well, you'd probably put a road across from that other property line.
Yeah.
And but if you don't do something today, at least lay it out or do something.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, but I think it would fall to the owners to raise their hand and say, okay, we'll do something there. It may change, but we could do all the concepts we want to.
Well, I don't have
that. Doesn't mean anything, you know, if we do it.
I don't have the knowledge of the wherewithal to do that, but it just,
right,
you got
right.
31 acres, and hopefully the landowner has the most density of businesses he can get for the most return.
Right, right.
I don't have an answer to it. I'm just saying it just it's an odd situation, and we've had to live with it since I've been on council also to come up with a way to do something.
You know, I'm wondering, looking at that diagram, how many more cuts could we have on Whiskey Road, you know, taking in that whole property going up? How many more cuts could we have? And then the follow-up question I have would be, how many stoplights could we have, if necessary, in between?
Can answer.
Well, the answer to the first question is as many as we approve. Because
well,
this is our only.
There's got to be a distance between them, I think.
Well, there is. There's a distance between them. Yeah, there is.
According to the access management section of the ordinance, you could have two more driveways on the Whiskey Road, and I think that would meet DOT regulations also. Obviously, Planning Commission and City Council would review that and could limit it possibly to one. But right now the regulations say two. I don't proclaim to be a DOT expert, but I think the minimum spacing on a traffic light is 900 feet, so we could have one traffic light somewhere along the front edge of this property up toward fairly close to the upper end up there. Mm-hmm. So there could be another traffic light.
Mm-hmm. Well, you wouldn't want those lights too close together. Certainly.
Correct.
No, there's a distance, I think, that they have to be.
There's a minimum distance.
I don't know what it is.
Okay. Well, I think we can count on then having some more cuts on Whiskey Road before the next century.
And also on Stratford Drive.
Yeah. I think so.
That's the other concern. If you allow the one on Stratford Drive without a provision for a frontage road, then you're running the risk of two more on Stratford Drive, and that's not acceptable to me.
And it could work out that the cross easement, so to speak, on this hotel could align with other developments up the line, so it could be that would be your frontage road. We just don't know. Mm-hmm.
That could be done, couldn't it, Mr. Smith, as far as future access?
I'm sorry.
Well, to the citizens' questions and Tilden's presentation, you've got two driveways stubbed out, one to the west and one to the north.
Right.
In future development, council could require a connection there as
that's
opposed
correct.
To Stratford Drive or Whiskey.
That's correct. I mean, that's the purpose of having the stub out there, and that's why city council several years ago came up with the stub out requirements for these developments.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I don't object to the hotels. I think it's probably good for the community, and somebody expressed concern about, you know, what the occupancy rate is on the hotels and so forth. I just make an assumption. They've done enough market research, you know, that they know they can you know, make some money building those hotels. One of the things that concerns me is if you try to turn left on Whiskey and try to go north, that somebody alluded to a suicide turn, and obviously, even though somebody said the Stratford Street entrance would be restricted to emergency vehicles or something along those lines, I don't think you can restrict it, because 99% of the people, after they see the traffic, are going to be using the Stratford so they can avail themselves of the red light. We chatted earlier, there's probably, like Reggie said, if you make a cut into Stratford here, you'll probably have two more cuts before you get into the development itself. On those, that 450 and that 363-foot stretch. I don't have the answers. It's too early. The ideal solution would be some kind of an access road that would be like parallel to Whiskey, which would run the traffic down to the intersection or run it up to the north, maybe to some intersection in the future, but I'm at a loss. If we can only have one entrance onto Whiskey, that's just addressing the only people that are going to be using that is people traveling south just to turn in there, and all the other traffic is going to be conveyed through Stratford and I don't see where that's beneficial. And, you know, who knows what's going on? I mean, how much time have we spent reviewing Silver Bluff, and this and that? I mean, you know,
it's several years.
It's a problem that should have been taken care of about 22 years ago. And also with Reggie, you know, we don't know what the future holds, but somehow or another, we're setting a precedent here, and, you know, we just let it go as it is. Chances are, you know, whoever's going to be on the board when the rest of the area is going to get developed, they're going to be hamstrung because, you know, we might want to the nightmarish traffic pattern. I don't have the answer. I don't know. Possibly, like somebody mentioned, you know, is there a way to table it for further study, or would that be beneficial at all? See, that's the whole thing.
I think we need to hear from the owner. I think he's itching to speak.
I'm Charles Hawley. I live at 557 Sudlow Lake Road here in Aiken County. I own property in the city of Aiken, and one of the three owners of this particular property. I want to start by thanking the council, thanking the Planning Commission, thanking even all of the residents out, because we've had what I think has been a good exchange of ideas and concerns. So I thank you for all that. And what I really want to do, just real quickly, is give a little history and try to refocus just 1 minute what we're trying to do. I had the pleasure in 1985-ish to meet with the owners of Woodside. At that time, the East Gate entrance had not been decided. And as you might know, Woodside stretches all the way from Silver Bluff basically to Chucker Creek. So they approached us. We owned that piece of property as back for an entrance. So we agreed to sell it. And we talked at that time with Pat Cunning, y'all know him, and the owners of Woodside, about this particular road, how it would be designed, and what uses should be there. And what I would really like to get you to focus on is switching your thought from a frontage road or a perimeter road or whatnot, and think a minute about Stratford Hall. And that is a service road. It was built wide enough. It's not just a subdivision road. It was built with the idea that multiple uses would come down that road. In typical development, you will see residential on the backland, multifamily, professional, commercial. It's kind of mundane, it's sort of old hat, but that's how things work. That road was designed, that piece of property was designed with that in mind. It came before the Planning Commission at those times. And it was also discussed, and you can find that in the minutes of City Council, that there were to be, and we agreed, limited access to Stratford. Because we felt like on the Whiskey Road side and the width, the service road would act as this frontage road, basically. If you have 31 acres, you don't really have the luxury of planning another major road through it. We agree with the city that interconnectivity itself is your frontage road, is your access road. And with using limited curb cuts, you have helped to provide for movement of vehicles and the safety of them. So we concur entirely that there should be limited access both to Stratford and on Whiskey Road. So I want you to rethink a minute again, a frontage road or whatever you want to call it, a major road through that, you'll kill the project. The economics, if you stop and think about it a minute, the economics would not work. And I'm not so sure that it really solves what you really want them to do. The traffic engineer has already said, the traffic study, that Stratford Hall can handle it. If you limit, which we agree to, access from Stratford, then you have solved some of the residents' concerns and maybe some of y'all's concerns about what will happen in the future. We have no idea, and I do want to say this,
from 1985 to today, we have always had commercial signs out there that said this property is zoned for commercial use or whatever. We always wanted to know, everyone to know, including the Planning Commission, of our desire and what would happen to it. We have no idea what will happen to that rest of the land. Stop a minute and think. Maybe somebody would want to come and buy 10 acres up front, and all they want is their own road to go into it. You know, some kind of, I don't know, a retail or something institutional, like a nursing home or a, you know, advanced care kind of a place. We have no idea. That will be driven by the market. Y'all will have the opportunity to say yay or nay, with the limited curb cuts. So to wrap it up and not take too long, I would plead with you tonight to vote in the affirmative. This has been planned from 1985. We've communicated with planning commissions, and we have brought to y'all a developer and a product that would be the best use of that particular corner. And I would really encourage you tonight to vote in the affirmative, please. Thank you.
Charles, before you sit down, if you would, I think Steve, you got it.
Yeah, you say you're going to restrict access to Stratford, and you're going to restrict access to Whiskey. I didn't quite catch that. And how would you actually, affect that?
It's not. I can't really affect that. Y'all can, but we have the understanding that there will be limited accesses on Stratford. That might be 1, 2, 3, not 10 or not 5 or something. That would be y'all's decision whenever another use comes about. But it's always been in the plan that it would be a limited accesses to Stratford. And I think that's why, there's not too many on it right now, you know, other than the subdivision I'm talking about. The road was designed to have numerous cuts on it, but not overwhelming amount. Limited is what I'd call it.
Yeah.
I could see very, very honestly, I could see the need for no more than 2 other cuts on Stratford and perhaps just 1. If you stop and think a minute, probably the most likely use of that rear property is something residential, whether that be apartments, whether that be townhomes, like across the street is already used. You only need one entrance. If that subdivision, that multi-use subdivision comes in, then the interconnectivity, let's say those people have a family member that wants to stay at these fine hotels. Well, then they get to go from the multifamily through the interconnected road to the hotel or interconnected to a restaurant. And that's, in my understanding, is that's what how y'all have decided the city to help alleviate Whiskey Road problems is keeping people off by interconnecting. I don't know if that answers you because we don't have a use for it. It is for sale. It's been for sale, and I do think something will happen in the near future, as people have brought out with the economy improving. But I think y'all can control it with limited access, basically.
Very good. Thanks, Charles.
You're welcome.
Any other comments?
One way back.
Oops. Okay, sir.
Is that 27 years ago when this plan was being put together for the entrance to Woodside Development, Mr. Waters wasn't developing Springstone, nor was most of or any of Stratford there, and most recently the development of the Springstone Village. Our developments have been in the stages of growth for 10 years. So that means that there's been a 17-year difference in what the projected use of the area from the time Woodside gave up the entrance there than what we now have today. And I would like to ask Mr. Mayor if my earlier request for a motion from any of my city council people still stands. And if I need to repeat them.
Well, we're going to have a motion on this whole issue here shortly. As long as everyone is satisfied that they don't need to speak anymore. There are some conditions here, too, that were given from the Planning Commission. And I think we ought to air those right now so everybody understands what they are. And then that would be in the motion one way or the other. If it's for approval, then those would be in the motion.
And I provided you the title, Mayor, the conditions that were listed in the ordinance that councils have and approved on first reading was one, proof of recording of a plat creating lot lines to correspond to the property proposed for annexation be submitted to Planning Department. Two, that a stub out to the northern boundary to allow future interconnection be provided. Three, that the planning director be able to approve changes in the amount of open space as long as the total for the entire site is not less than 25%. Four, that the requirement of the access management provisions that the driveway on Whiskey Road be aligned with the driveway across the street be waived. Five, that any freestanding signage must meet the zoning ordinance definition of a monument sign. Six, that the provisions of the LDR study, other than the requirement for street trees, apply to the project unless deemed impractical by the planning director. Seven, that if applicable, a revised concept plan be submitted showing any changes required by city council. Eight, that the conditions of approval be listed on the concept plan. And nine, that the applicant and contract purchaser sign an agreement with the city stating the conditions and that the agreement be recorded at the deed office.
Okay. So we know what those conditions are. I'd like to ask Mr. Mason again if you would come up and tell us what those two conditions were.
And while he's...
Have you got them?
No, but while he's coming up...
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't get them written down properly, and so I can't read my own writing.
And what I had, Mr. Mayor, was the council make a motion to approve the hotel without road exits on Stratford Drive or to table the vote until more study on a service road entrance be studied.
With no service going in and out on Stratford, no people going out or coming in.
The motion A was to approve the hotel with the proviso that no service road exit onto Stratford. The second one B was a motion to table the vote until a more intensified study is done on the service road issue.
And when you say service road, you're talking the frontage road on Whiskey, so we can all get on the same page, or?
Service road, access road, parallel road, running parallel to Whiskey, south to north.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Now wait a minute. I thought your first one was no traffic out on Stratford.
Exactly.
Okay, that's number one.
Yeah.
Okay, number two then was
table the motion
table.
Or the vote until such time
okay.
that an intensive study be made relative to the parallel road.
What you're saying basically is with the new stub heading towards northwest and eliminating the access to Stratford is what you'd like to see.
Well, I'm going to give you my opinion. I don't think that we ought to limit access going out on Stratford or coming in. That gives us two ways of getting out. If we limit that, then that means everything's going out front on Whiskey Road.
That's right.
Then we go to item B. To table the idea until we have an option of coming out with a second exit onto Whiskey. I
mentioned the 900 feet from the traffic light at Stratford to meet the DOT regulation that the lights be that far apart.
I'm going to support this, not that. I'm going to support this, so I'll even make a motion to approve this based on the fact that that exit on Stratford can be used for in and out traffic. I think that is a safety issue. If we stop that, then we've got one way out. And to me, I don't think that's right. Sit down, please, unless you would like to come up and talk. And then you may do that. You may do that.
I'm reiterating my position that the second relief valve be on Whiskey. North, they're talking about putting their current one at about 300 feet from Stratford. A second one would be north of that, onto Whiskey.
I understand what you're saying. But we're not dealing with that much space. We're dealing with 500, not 900 or so.
That's why the motion.
Well, that's why you want. Okay, that's why you would propose to table this for a later date. I don't know where we would go with that. I don't understand.
You would know better than I that the traffic people could be brought back into it and maybe even start doing some coordinating between the city and the DOT and, you know, again, make a long-range plan that's inclusive rather than fragmented.
Well, that
working in bits and pieces.
That plan will come about as soon as someone else buys property next to this. There will be another cut on Whiskey Road. And there will be another road in the center, probably.
In interim, we're going to deal with the problem on Stratford, which is what we're trying to avoid.
Well, you know, we go back to the traffic. This gentleman had spent hours out there just giving us his view of it. We had traffic engineers looking at that as well. So I personally don't think we ought to delay this anymore. I think we've had a good discussion. We've had a fair, we've had an honest discussion on this issue. And as I said, I support it.
If I could, Mr. Mayor, I was just unclear as to your motion. Was it to adopt the ordinance as written?
As written, if it says that we can use that exit on to go out to Stratford in and out.
Is that how
it's written?
The current concept plan shows that, yes, sir.
Okay. That's my motion, along with the conditions that were read.
Mr. Mayor, do we have any control over turn lanes or turn signals? Could we recommend that, for us, safety purposes, that turn lanes and turn signals.
We could recommend as part of the motion that SCDOT come and look at that situation and see if at this point in time, if they see any changes should be made or if they agree to them. Again, we depend on them to make these decisions. We can ask them as many times as we want to, and
is
we can.
Is there any way to incorporate that into the motion?
DOT really wouldn't be bound by this ordinance to do anything, but the city can always ask DOT to look at something and see what they want to do.
And
I also like the suggestion about the no parking zone around. Like if a big truck come up, a semi come up, they'll not be allowed to park on Stratford just because it's there.
Now, would that be part of a motion, though? Is that just public safety?
Under the city code, you do allow the director of public safety to designate no parking areas.
Okay. We don't have a second to your motion.
I know, we don't have a second. Okay. Is there a second? Okay, I guess not. It does. Do we have a motion? Another motion.
I would move that we reject the application as submitted. And I base that simply
This is our only chance to start the project off for the 31 acres. I'm torn between the idea that, as I've mentioned before, it won't beat a dead horse, but we only have one chance at this large piece of property, and if we approve it as it's submitted, we're giving up, I think, a major opportunity to do what is best for traffic on Whiskey Road overall. There are many areas in the city that I think we all can agree we wish we had frontage roads and thought about that in the very beginning as development took place. Now we have a chance.
Okay. If you make a motion, I'll second that.
Mr. City Attorney, if we make a motion and it dies for a second, isn't this ordinance dead then?
No, sir.
It has to have a motion to decline it.
A motion has to pass.
Okay, thank you.
Or not pass.
Well, the question is, assuming it gets rejected right now, you know, will they have an opportunity to present another concept plan or some kind of a new development?
That would refer to Ed on what their timeline would be.
How soon can they come back, you know, trying to take into consideration some of the concerns if we reject the motion or the second reading?
If there are substantial changes to the plan, then you come back right away.
Okay. Which I would consider so.
I'm in favor of the hotels. I'm just concerned about the...
I think we all are. It's just the...
Can we have a conversation now?
Yes, you have a motion and a second.
Let me. We had a question asked. Dick, I think you asked the gentleman a question. I think it was you. About if he... I think it had to do with that entrance on,
yes,
on Stratford. And if we close that off or limited, whatever it was, mm-hmm, was it limited?
If we close that, if there was no access to the property or exit from the property on Stratford.
Okay. And I think that he said yes.
That's exactly
and
right.
I think most everybody, I've heard people say they agree to this, with exception here or there. And, but that was a main exception, I think.
Well, that's right. I sense the residents are not objecting to the hotels. They know it's commercial property, and they know that something is going in there. I think that the issue is, number one, the traffic. And, you know, I have the concern about the people on Sessions, but I don't know how to address that. I don't think I can, quite honestly, because that's not part of what we're supposed to be discussing. But certainly the traffic to the hotel property is part of it.
Well, would you consider then if I change my view, is that enough to approve that? Or do you still want to... Your motions are...
My understanding... Okay, I didn't make a motion, Dick, that,
yeah,
and I just seconded it. I'm willing to withdraw it if the new motion that you would propose is that we approve the concept plan without the access to Stratford.
So question would be, Mr. DeWar would accept the amendment to the motion, which would be to approve if you deny the access to Stratford Drive.
If you do that, then what you're saying is there's going to be one in and one out.
Well, that's right.
Or two hotels.
They got two stubs, you know, one leading north and one
which
west.
may come into use sometime, but we don't know when. And the property's been on the market for a long time. Hopefully it won't be on the market much longer. But I don't know how you can be comfortable with one entrance in and one entrance out for two hotels. I mean, well, only going to build the one hotel in the beginning.
Well, there was some discussion about a crash gate, so I don't know whether council wants to consider that, but that was mentioned in the discussion.
But if we do that again, it's the same problem. We're giving up the opportunity for a frontage road that would address development on the entire parcel.
Okay, well, that seems to be the key.
It is to me, yes.
That seems to be a key with some people. It is, and that's your motion.
Yes.
To go that way.
Yes.
And not make any changes.
No changes, and just...
Mr. DeWar's motion is to deny...
Deny the request.
Deny the application.
Deny
second.
I'll second.
I'll make
a
second.
Okay. Well, we have a motion and a second. Then all in favor of this motion that's on the table, show hands. Okay. Okay.
Well, deny
that
the motion.
That denies it. That is a denied vote.
Yeah.
Denying the motion means that... But I'm in favor of the hotels, so I can't
really
deny the motion.
Okay, oppose, you and I, Gail. Okay. Then it's denied 3-2.
Yeah. Hotels,
yeah. It's denied 3-2. Okay. Thank all of you for your time over the past couple of weeks, all your comments, and looks like we'll see this issue again. Stay tuned.
Well, I hope we see it again soon.
I am too. Worried about the other situation with the traffic.
Yeah,
that's why I'm like.
They've denied the application.
It was denied.
Well, that's right.
West is denied.
West is denied.
We'll continue to work with the owners to see if we can get
details on the plan concept.
Yes, right. Ma'am.
The whole project's denied.
The whole project.
Means is that they can go back, and if they come back and give us
hoping we could work something out.
That's a major change, and they can be back here.
Something's going to go there, I mean.
But he doesn't want to do that because it's going to cost him money. Yes, sir. Yes, it would. But it costs money.
But did you want the hotels? Did you want the hotels? I'm not against the hotels.
Wow.
Right. You really have to be a defensive driver nowadays, don't you?
Yeah.
You really do.
Well, I worry about access, too. I worry about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for being here, and thank you for your thoughts. Well,
yeah, it's denied, ma'am, at this point.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay, item 3 is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 486 Jehosi Drive into the Aiken city limits. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the city of Aiken certain property consisting of 0.31 acres of land, more or less owned by Habitat for Humanity, and to zone the same residential single-family RSA. This is an application by Habitat for Humanity. The property is contiguous. It is located at 486 Jehosi Drive. And the Planning Commission unanimously recommended that council annex this property, and it was unanimously approved at your meeting on September 24th. This is second reading in a public hearing.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
I so move.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor. Passes unanimously.
Four votes. Let's see. We got it.
That's enough.
Four. Yes, sir. Four votes. Okay. Mr. DeWar's out of the.
Under new business approval of the South Carolina Department of Transportation request, Silver Bluff Road, the project underground stormwater detention installation. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Bradley Reynolds is here from the South Carolina Department of Transportation. As council referred earlier, we are working on with them on the Silver Bluff Road widening project. As part of that project, council has a September 28th letter from Bradley, and they want to install an underground storage area for stormwater runoff. This area that they have designated, and that's shown on page 106, is within 100 feet of our Hidden Haven well that's near Hidden Haven Drive, but it's more than 50 feet away. Larry Morris has reviewed this request, and you should have copies of an October 1 memo that he sent out last week that we forwarded to council, and we have put copies on the desk today. He is saying that this proposed underground stormwater detention structure is acceptable if, one, the structure is made of poured-in-place concrete, two, that all joints should have permanent water stop material embedded in the concrete. Use of caulking-type sealants in place of water stop should not be allowed. Three, that the structure should be designed to drain completely. Four, the structure should have sealed manhole openings to allow for maintenance cleaning. And five, cost for any conditions required by DHEC to modify the well to prevent seepage of surface water should be the responsibility of SCDOT. Mr. Reynolds is here and has a presentation for you to talk about this proposed project and the structure to be installed underground, and Mr. Morris is in the room as well and can provide any answers to questions the council may have about our existing well. Brandon?
Mr. Pierce, also I'd like to thank the council for having me here. Again, my name is Brad Reynolds. I'm with the South Carolina Department of Transportation, and I think most people are familiar with the Silver Bluff Road project, but those who may not be familiar with it, I got a little project overview. Essentially, it's a corridor improvement from Richardson Lake up until just past Indian Creek Trail. That's just a quick overview of the project, but important. The reason why we're here tonight is one of the design parts of this project is hydraulic design. Now, DOT, SCDOT's hydraulic requirements state that our post-development runoff rates must be less than or equal to the pre-development rates. On this project, the outfalls are fairly restricted. We only have four outfalls to this project, and so what that really means is at those outfall points, we can't be introducing additional water to those points at a larger rate, either one of those four points. And one of the ones, and that's also covered in the DHEC regulations. This particular project is currently out there. What we have is a ditch section, so the water from the roadway actually flows through ditch, and which allows it to infiltrate, and it doesn't get to those points as quickly. With this new design, I think most of you know we're putting in a three-lane section out there that is going to have curb and gutter. And what curb and gutter does is it concentrates the water to catch basins, and that water then goes into pipes. If you can see in the typical section above, what we have is you have a center median 12-foot travel lanes on both sides, and then you have your curb and gutter. DOT's drainage system will then be placed underneath the outside of that curb and gutter, and will be caught in catch basins, and this will concentrate the flow to the outfalls. In order to keep the rates the same at those outfall points, we are proposing, or have proposed, and we're shown on the public information drawing at the hearing on September 18th, proposed a pond on track 13. It is in the proximity of Richardson Lake Road, and this is the fire department that's out there. And the one that we're wanting to discuss tonight, and this is on track 33, which is in between Woodside Executive Court, and that's Hidden Haven Drive right there.
It's on page 106 of your agenda materials.
And shown here was an above-ground detention pond, and at the meeting that we held on September the 18th, it was brought to our attention by Mr. Larry Morris that at this location there was also one of Aiken City Wells. It's actually right underneath where they put the detention pond. So with that information, we took that. We actually met with Larry. Mr. Morris came down from DOT. We met with him, and from there we talked with DHEC to find out what their requirements would be for us to use that same parcel of land for underground detention, or for detention. And and as I stated before, Aiken does have an easement with the current property owner for that pond, for that well. The requirements from DHEC would be that any construction of above ground detention within 250 feet of the well, we would have to monitor for 12 months. So if we were within 250 feet, anywhere within that vicinity, we would have to monitor that well to make sure nothing was getting into the drinking water.
Also, there is a 100-foot pollution-free radius that's established around the current drinking well. And they would allow, with city permission, we could get within the 100-foot pollution-free radius with a enclosed detention structure, but we would still have to stay outside of the 50-foot radius for the well. And I have a little sketch. I think it was also in the package that it was attached to the letter that I sent to the council.
Yeah, that's page 106 of the agenda pack. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What I've shown on this, and again, this was just a sketch to, for a little bit of clarity, is we have a the wells here in the center, and then I established a 50-foot radius and a 100-foot radius, and this dashed line there would be what DOT would be proposing that would be needed for our underground detention area. And it's outside of the 50-foot, but it is within the 100-foot radius.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Brad, do you have to do this very often? Does this come up very often on other projects?
Well, the proximity to the well?
Well, the same situation, where you have to put the underground.
No, the underground detention is not very common. I mean, generally we like to use the outfalls that exist. Unfortunately, on this project, the outfalls that do exist are in areas that run through developments that are currently in place. In order to make those outfalls set the rates or set the additional runoff that we're making for this project, we would have to fix those outfalls throughout those developments until we can detain enough water.
But you do have some off and on.
Yeah, we do have these.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's a highlighted area. That would be the area that we would be asking for.
How does this fit in with the plan forward for the whole widening of the road?
It's an important part of the plan for the road.
I mean, is it going to slow it up anymore? We still don't have any timetable, you know, obviously.
Well, our plan was to be in right away in November, out talking to property owners in right away in November. We feel like this may delay us a month or two to get this information, because this is not designed yet. This is a request for the city to be able to put something in this location. We have to weigh this against other alternatives, and some of those alternatives may not be as good as this one as far as the alternatives to this particular design.
Okay.
And that was it for...
Do we have the money to pay for this that's in the money that we have for the road?
It would be added to the budget, but we were looking at detention anyway, so it may be a little more than what was currently in there, but it would be included in the cost of the project.
Good.
I'm trying to visualize it. Is this like a bunker? I mean, is it a room-sized structure, or...?
Again, the design hasn't been laid in place, but, I mean, it's a... That proxy, that size or that parcel is that.
Because it's considerable size. I mean,
that, and again, that's not design. That's just a proposed location.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, it would be somewhere in the vicinity of that yellow area there.
How deep is it, or is there a restriction on how deep it can go?
It's based on design, but it would be a large pipe. It would be 36 to 16-inch pipe that would be placed in the ground in that location. And they're placed in rows, and they're buried, so it would be a buried facility. So it may be a mounded look out there with grass on top. I mean, that would be essentially what the finished look would be for the underground detention.
But it's not closed off to the outside.
The underground detention would be completely closed off to the outside.
Completely closed.
It would be completely closed off to the outside. You would have access holes to be able to clean out the structures, because they would have to be maintained and be cleaned out at regularly spaced intervals.
How would you feed it? How does the water get in there?
It's piped from the roadway. You have pipe running along the edge of the roadway, and that pipe would flow down into the detention pond.
Okay.
It would stay in there until you got to a level where it would seep out, and it would run the same course as the current drainage that's out there. But it would just do it at a slower rate. It would hold on to it, basically it would just hold it in that location to allow it to seep out at a rate that was the same as what's currently there.
Like a big septic tank?
It's a big holding tank is basically what it is.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Brad.
Well, don't run off yet. I got a question for both of you. Who owns that property? Is that city property around the well, or we have an easement? What is the...
Morris can speak to that.
Mr. Ron Willen owns that property. We do have an easement for the well and for the piping that serves the well.
All right, so we don't own the land where the well is either?
That is correct. We do not own it. We have an easement.
Right, and the only purpose of the resolution is a waiver to allow the potential facility to be constructed less than 100 feet but more than 50 okay. feet from our well.
I would assume this is a cheaper way to go than put a larger line to the lake.
That could be a part of the analysis that we do at the end of it. There are the other options, but we can look at those. But yeah, we feel like this was definitely a cheaper option than having to put in piping from the end of Fartwell Drive all the way down to...
That's 1,000, 1,500 feet to the lake. Mm-hmm. Okay, long term, this is not a maintenance issue or anything. Who's going to maintain it?
We have a hydraulic support office who maintains the contract that cleans out all these, all our underground detention and our detention areas throughout the state.
There's no way to make this an open pond and use it as a swale area or anything like we do some of the other?
The first design, the original design, was what we were considering that size, that blue area. That was a design pond, and that was the size of what was going to have to be to detain the water at that location.
Okay.
I can go back to that picture. We may not be able to use this. We may not be able to use this location if we have to go with above ground detention because of
okay.
of the size of it. But this is a large track. However, the track actually moves as you move away from the road. It actually increases in elevation, which causes
it does. It gets higher. We're not boxing you in by making it an underground. You need to make it an open ground. You would have to come back to us if the design changed.
We discussed that a little bit earlier.
I'm just trying to help you out for the future so you don't have to come back to city council.
The information we got from DHEC right now, the information that our hydraulic engineer got from DHEC and we portrayed in the letter was that only way we could be within the 100-foot and outside of the 50-foot was to use an underground detention system.
Underground.
Now, I can get some... We'll actually go back. We'll go back to them and ask them.
Well, no, don't do it don't do it on my account. I just don't want to box you in, so you have to come back to council if you decide to go open.
Okay, structure. So with the motion that we're requesting, it would box us into an underground detention.
Yeah, that's what if I'm reading this right, Mr. Pierce.
Yeah, our understanding was in order for it to be that close to a city water supply source, that it needed to be contained, not open.
And that's what we've got from DHEC so far, but. It can be contained.
And still be open top.
And be open. And that's something that we may be able to go back to them and ask with a liner. I don't know if the city is open to that as an option, being within that.
We haven't been given that option to consider. We just had the option you sent in the letter. That's why we put it on the agenda, since you said time was of the essence.
Well, I think my only concern is we don't want this to turn into something like the red light at Richardson Lake Road and that other that's been going on for 10 or 12 years. You know, we don't want you to have to come back two or three times. But
It would just take another resolution by council.
Okay.
That's something we can schedule very quickly.
Very good, then.
Well, can't we say either or?
Well, that would hinge on the DHEC requirements, though, Mayor.
Well, it's either within the DHEC ability to do it, to say yes you can do it, the open, I mean, both of them, are they acceptable to DHEC?
The information we have got from DHEC so far is if you're within 100 feet
okay.
and outside of 50 feet, that would have to be a totally enclosed
container.
Okay, that ends it then.
Yes.
I thought it was a good suggestion, though, if we could save another meeting. But
great common sense, but unfortunately,
I so move, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. We got a motion and a second. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passage unanimously.
And that is with the conditions that I read into the record from Mr. Morris. Was that the motion? With the conditions that I read into the record at the start.
Under the conditions.
Well, you have to include them on the ordinance to make them part of the ordinance, right?
It needs to be in the motion so yes. We can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yes?
Include those comments.
Please. And I'll include the second.
All right. Very good.
Okay.
All right. Vote again.
All right. Number two, first reading of an ordinance to designate.
Just confirm that that's
sorry.
A unanimous vote, Mayor.
I'm sorry.
We as amended.
I thought it was.
Okay.
Well, it was before we changed the motion.
Okay. You're right. Okay. Make sure.
Thank you, Brett.
Thank you, Brett. Item two, first reading of an ordinance to designate Gaston Livery Stable to the Historic Registry as a landmark property.
I think we should take a 30-minute break.
Mayor, the title of the ordinance is an ordinance designating the Gaston Livery Stable as a historic site on the City of Aiken Historic Register, and part of the ordinance would be to designate the property as a landmark on the register. You've got extensive materials here from Planning Commission, the Design Review Board, and the application that was submitted. Colleen Reed is here, and then we also have a special guest who is Gary Dexter, who has actually constructed a wood-fired kiln to make pottery in the Edgefield tradition that he has done extensive study with. And if you come into my office, there's actually a Gaston Livery Stable storage jar that Gary made that I have on display, and he just does an amazing job preserving this tradition. This application was filed by Lucy Knowles. It's been unanimously approved by Design Review Board and Planning Commission, and this is first reading of an ordinance to so designate the Gaston Livery Stable. Colleen?
Okay.
Thank you so much, and thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of council. I would like to start by showing you a picture of what the property looked like prior to our purchase.
Colleen, you could
put it on.
Mr. Beedbo will help you put on this projector.
Do
no, he's going to do it for you.
He's going to help
He'll
you.
Do it for you. He's right there.
Good for you.
And everybody can see it at the same time.
Thank you. Here it is.
Wow, there's a lot of plants.
Okay. If you look into the top left-hand corner, you can actually see a small section of the barn. It's right there. Anyway, this is what the property looked like. And then we had some help from this really nice gentleman who serves on city council by the name of Reggie Ebner.
Who?
Yeah. Getting a lot of that debris cleared away and making the property so that we could actually see the barn. We got the barn to look like, oops, upside down, Colleen, this. So originally it was all covered with ivy. You can see remnants of the ivy up on the one section. That's basically where we were, what, 6 months ago? 6 months ago. And let's see, I had one more thing. This is a picture that we had before we did some extensive repairs to the east wing. You can see to the left, all of the brick is basically falling away under the dormer, and that's all been repaired and put back together. So we've come a very long way, and we owe that to all of our volunteers and our fundraising efforts and the generosity of the community, because this project has been done with no taxpayer funds. There's no city money, no county money, no state money. It's all the generosity of our community.
Excellent.
And we just have to be so thankful for all of that. We have had volunteers from Fort Gordon who've come over, and our crew chief from heaven has directed them, and we are 2 years in advance of what we thought we would be at this point in time, and that's a minimum of 2 years. As Richard said, the groundtop kiln is in place. We're hoping to do the test firing this week. And that all depends on the weather conditions. All of our wiring has been put underground. We found all of our plumbing outlets that we needed so that we could have bathrooms. But anyway, so we had more board members here earlier, but due to the hour, several had to leave. And anyway, so what you get is Gary and I think we can do this. We're very proud of this property. We call the barn our barn because we believe that it belongs to the entire community. We have been very fortunate to have tours come already to the barn. It's just, to me, it's going to be a show place in the city of Aiken, and it does have very significant history, which is all in your packet. There's one little thing that I just handed you, the little cards. What they are is they show the progress that we've made. There's this gentleman by the name of Alan Riddick, who was able to save some doors from the Aiken cleaning trash when the old barn was torn down. And he kept those doors in his backyard for years, much to the chagrin of his wife. This project came along, and we had these openings at the ends of the barn that had been used as apartment doors. And Reggie Ebner did tell us that we could fix this, and we started talking about the doors. Alan donated the doors to us. We were directed in how to refinish them. The doors have been restored, and two sets of the barn doors are in place, one at the east wing and one at the west wing of the barn, and they are incredible. If you haven't been out to see the barn, please go out to see it. The rickety old wooden staircases on the exterior of the building have been removed, which is what the pictures are showing you. And we now have this barn almost back to its original glory. We're still working on it.
Well, congratulations to you, Colleen.
Thank you.
For your leadership, and Gary too, what you're doing. This is amazing. It's so great to hear that no tax money, city, federal, whatever, used on this project. How much money did it cost to do all the work you've done so far?
That's hard to say because we've had so much in-kind service.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the government allows us $18.66 per hour that we can, you know, do if we were going to do something on a grant. And I would venture to say that we have 500 to 1,000 hours of manpower that has gone into this. I mean, with the removal of the trees, the removal of the ivy.
Yeah. But have you got a total money, though, that was given or
well, the initial donations that we received were $15,000. For the down payment, and then we have had our fundraising events, and we've raised close to $10,000 with our fundraising efforts, and then the in-kind service as people donating their actual services.
Oh, absolutely!
Services.
Yeah, you can't put
it's priceless. I mean, and our community is just extremely generous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I got a question. I understand putting this on the City of Aiken's historic register. Are you planning on putting it on? Is there like a state register or a national register?
The National Register of Historic Places, yes, sir. That is in the plans, yes.
Okay.
And the barn, our future plans are to use it as a living history site. And we may be fortunate enough to have some of the soldiers from the Battle of Aiken reenactment actually camping this year in February. So we're hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
Gary might have to fire the kiln so they can stay warm.
Yeah. Very, very good. Well, thank you.
But we would really like you to designate us as a landmark.
That's great. Do we have a motion and second?
I so move.
Second.
All right. We'll go second. Any discussion? Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Thank you again, Colleen, for all your efforts, and Gary. Okay, item 3, approval of appreciation funds for radio narrow banding project. Mr. Pierce.
Thank you, Mayor. As we presented to council in last year's budget and then this year's budget presentation, we have to, under Federal Communications Commission requirements narrowband our city radios. Since we had radios that dated literally from the late 1970s through current times, we decided to go ahead and replace the older radios and have everybody working on the same wavelength. We've got the new frequencies assigned by the FCC. We're ready to go forward. When we went back and looked at the budget, Finance Department Director Abney and I discovered that we had unspent funds from the 2011-2012 budget that were committed to the project that totaled $41,162. We met 2 weeks ago and discovered from the state contract supplier, Motorola, what the total cost for the project was going to be. In the neighborhood of $420,000. In order to pay that off, we would need to use those unspent funds this year. We were going to pull that from depreciation. It's simply a matter of funds that did not get spent. We did the budget reconciliation in August. We did not have a final estimate from Motorola. We have that now. And what we would like is authorization to adjust the budget and have authorization to spend as much as $50,000 from our depreciation accounts. We actually think we'll spend about $48,572. So for council approval is the authority to spend these funds in this budget year that were not spent last year.
How does this $41,162 fit into?
That's the actual line item from the patrol division budget that we did not spend.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And what we had in this year's budget was $50,000, but we had $50,000 in last year's budget. We did not spend that, so we would like to be able to cover the total cost of the project.
But we kept that in the budget.
Funds.
That didn't go forward and get respent.
No, it was designated for radios.
Because it was designated, okay.
Simply, it's something with our auditors. We cannot pay for equipment unless it's actually in hand. And we did not have that equipment delivered by June 30th, so we couldn't pay for it out
of
last year's
budget. We're allowed to keep the money. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
I'm told that the Aiken Standard website runs our police scanner and so forth. Is that going to change as a result of any of this?
You know, Chief Barranco's here. I don't know that we know that, Mr. DeWar. We can look into that. They do run the police scanner.
Yeah. As these are new frequencies, I know sometimes they...
We have new frequencies, and we have the ability now, there's like the public band.
Yeah.
They have we have more choices to go for individual conversations.
Yeah, you can have all kinds of frequencies for that purpose. So.
Yes, sir. We actually, in sitting with the Motorola people, we're going to have a much expanded service for our radios for our different departments.
Thank you. Mayor, I move approval.
Okay.
Second.
Any discussion? More? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor for approval. Passes unanimously.
Actually, I got a quick question. One of the things that the Pentagon, the chief, this is for you, one of the critiques that the Pentagon attack was that they couldn't get through the walls, and the same thing up in New York, the FM communications or the VHF communications couldn't penetrate. Do we have any kind of a problem like that in Aiken? Are you familiar with it? First of all, I don't know.
While he's coming up, Mr. Monkey, I don't know about the interior buildings. We did have some dead areas with our trucks that were going out to the Three Rivers.
You're talking about the relays.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not so much the relays.
I believe the situation that you're talking about is repeated channels.
Yeah.
We also have the ability to go from radio to radio.
Well, you do have radio to radio. Okay.
That bypasses the repeater, so to take care of a situation like an events area, like at the hospital or something to that effect.
Yeah, because that was one of the big findings they had, where they couldn't communicate with people on the inside, couldn't get them out in time.
Thank you, Charles.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chief.
Okay, that's the end of our agenda.
I had a couple of things under the information section. Mayor, we did provide the issues and updates memo to council, and then I added a city manager report on the Lawrence Street Bridge project. Our understanding is that DOT anticipates completing that project this week, and that includes filling in some of the dirt that's on the other side of the fence. And then on Whiskey Road at the Fresh Market, we had a discussion with a recommendation from the Planning Commission about handling traffic flow. We had some preliminary discussions with SCDOT because our preliminary traffic counts did confirm that as you go south on Whiskey Road, as you go from Bernard down to the traffic signal there at Hitchcock and King's Grant Way, that 70% of the traffic tends to stay in the right-hand lane. That's on closest to the Palmetto Golf Club side of Whiskey. And about 30% of the traffic goes in the left-hand lane. And rather than pursue a permanent installation and have something that would upset the neighbors that came and spoke, what we're proposing to do is have a temporary installation of traffic cones to have a left-hand turn lane southbound on Whiskey to the lane that's closest in the southbound lane, the lane that's closest to the center, and gather some more data. Mr. DeWar and Councilmember Wells were present at the Greater Aiken Estates Neighborhood Association meeting. We put that out there for their consideration, and the neighborhood seemed to be pleased that we would do something on a trial basis.
Yes.
Take that data and then see what a permanent solution might be. So that's just kind of bringing council up to date on some items we said we would look into.
Is that going to mean we'll only have one lane?
Just for the week when Fresh Market opens for the grand opening on a trial basis.
Well, you're proposing it just for the 1 week?
Right, on a trial basis. They typically, DOT likes about 5 days. We're going to go ahead and do 7 days of data for them to consider.
That's going to be an evolving issue because the frustration is we don't know what else is going there.
We do not.
You know, I mean, they tell us they're going to put a Starbucks and some other high volume, a couple of other high volume businesses. That's going to change the whole nature of what we're talking about.
And I think that's a good point, Mr. DeWar, and that's why putting in a permanent installation might not be helpful.
Yeah, no, that's I think that's the right way to go. And I've got to believe he must know what's going in there by now, but...
We don't have anything.
I would just echo what you put in here about the senior extravaganza. Once again, it was just a great project. It was well done. I don't think we do much that is more appreciated than that senior extravaganza. And thank you for doing it. It's just absolutely wonderful. There were a lot of pleased seniors that you got the information to them, and that's what they needed.
And I fully anticipate Mr. Parker taking that back to his staff.
Yeah. I hope so, because they did a great job.
They really did a nice
job. Richard, one thing, I think we ought to have some good communications, and hopefully from the Aiken Standard and elsewhere, about that week where we're cutting down to one lane.
Yes.
I can see a lot of folks upset with what's going on when you're cutting down two lanes to one lane, especially at certain times.
Well, if we could work with them and give them a diagram that they could put in the paper, if they'd be willing to do that, I think
let them know it's just a test at this time.
Well, and again, as we work with our inspections division and become aware that a certificate of occupancy is imminent, you know, we've got several avenues. We've got 18,000 water bill accounts. We can put it in that newsletter. We can put it on the website. Yeah. We can certainly share it with the local media, whether that's print or broadcast media.
Okay, we are adjourned.
Mr. Pierce, who do I talk to about the entrance from the apartments by the new Lawrence Street Bridge? Is that Kevin Gant?
Have you updated to the new operators?
I didn't hear you.
Coming out of the apartments at the new Lawrence Street Bridge, do I talk to Mr. Gant about that?
Should have.
That ramp coming up?
Right. That's what they described.